California, December the 9th, 1976. Fresno, California. Cassie, I hope you will bear with me on this, in that it has been 35 years since this happened, and I am not sure how good my memory is. We sailed from Casco Bay, Maine, in what appeared to be a routine trip, except that for the first time the Pollux was having a escort, namely the USS Wilkes. After we were out of Casco Bay several hours, the Truxton joined us, one running the front guard and one running the back guard. This, of course, was unusual for us because we had been running alone up until this time. The weather appeared to be normal for that area at that time of year. It seems to me that around 10 o'clock or so the following night, it started to snow, and I went to bed as usual, paying no attention to it because this wasn't my fort to be worried about the weather. I was sleeping soundly in my bunk when at 4 o'clock in the morning the ship made a weird lurch that woke me up with a startle. I looked out my porthole just in time to see green water coming in, and needless to say, this frightened me and my bunkmate. The alarm went off. We immediately got out of our bunks, put on our foul weather clothing and our emergency gear, and went up to our abandoned ship stations. It was snowing so hard that we couldn't see what was going on, but it didn't take long to find out what had happened, and we all just stood fast waiting to find out what our orders were. It's difficult for me to describe to you the feeling of knowing that you're standing on a ship that's going to pieces, that land is almost so close you can touch it, but you can't get to it. Obviously, many things run through your mind, you know, whether you're going to see the sun come up that day or not, or whether this is the end and what kind of an end it's going to be. I can't tell you what went on during the time period that elapsed between the time the ship went on and about 10 o'clock in the morning, but everyone seemed to be busy and all sorts of attempts were made to try and get someone to shore. Jim Bounty had and I had discussed the possibility of swimming a line ashore, and we talked this over with Sam Bostic, who was the ship's medical officer. And Sam said there might be a possibility, except that the water was so cold that we would need something to protect ourselves. One of the boatswain's mates said that he knew where there was a can of grease, so Jim and I put on our swimming trunks, put on life jackets, and coated ourselves with grease. In the meantime, cargo nets had been put over the side of the ship next to the shore side, and there was a life raft down there, and Jim and I got permission, climbed down into the raft, and started to try and paddle a line to shore. The surge between the ship and the shore was so great that all we seemed to do would get banged against the ship and ultimately got thrown out of the raft. So we then decided that if we would see if we could try and swim it, and we worked for what was about 10 or 15 minutes and could make no headway in this tremendous surge that was going on between the ship and the shore. For the record, there was probably about 50 yards between the ship and the first shelf that we might have climbed up on if the water would have let you. We came back to the ship, were hauled on board, and were about half frozen, obviously, to say. As I remember of the report that I read at that time, the seawater was 18 degrees that morning. I had made up my mind that no matter what happened, I was going to stick with the ship after that episode. And many of the others didn't, as you know, and we had a very heavy loss of life. I can't tell you what went on during the day because one thing just seems to run into another. But as you can tell by the report that I have sent you, the official report that I'm mailing a copy to you of, ultimately a line was rigged ashore and a boatswain's chair was rigged on it to a rather small shelf of land at the bottom of the cliff. The cliff, in my estimation, was about 150 high and pretty near perpendicular, so it would have been very difficult for anyone to climb up it. When we saw that we were going to get onto that cliff, my chief storekeeper, a fellow by the name of Paul Pulver, and I went down to the office, got the money out of the safe, and what we considered to be accountable papers, loaded them in our money bag, and went back up topside. When our turn came to go ashore in the boatswain's chair, we went ashore and took these with us. After we got on the shelf, it was obvious we couldn't stay there too long, because as the tide was coming in, there was less and less room for all of us to huddle on. While we were on this shelf, and unbeknownst to us, the Truxton had gone on the beach closer to the town of St. Lawrence. And the people of St. Lawrence saw them, and they were told that there was another ship with them, and they had sent a search party out looking for us. Along about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, these Newfoundlanders found us, and 2 men who had dug themselves into the side of the cliff up there lowered a rope and one at a time pulled each of us survivors hand over hand up this cliff. By the time the last man was pulled up, it was getting dusk, and then the question came as to what to do. We were told that if we wanted to walk into town, we could, and the thing to do would be to follow the shoreline around, and we would ultimately come to St. Lawrence. Several of us discussed the possibility of staying out in the cold or walking, and I felt personally if I was going to die, I was going to die moving rather than standing still, because we certainly would have froze to death if we'd have stayed there. So a half a dozen of us banded together and started towards the town. We walked around the whole night, following the shoreline around, and around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning had almost walked into the town of St. Lawrence when some of the townspeople had started out to meet us. They loaded us in sleds and in trucks and hauled us into what was, I think, a meeting hall. They had made the necessary preparations of their meager supplies to help us out. And I remember women taking their own petticoats and tearing them up to make bandages to help the survivors. We were a pretty sorry bunch, most of us cut and bruised, all of us coated with fuel oil or grease, and most of us frozen. In my particular case, my hands and feet were frozen. I had no feeling in them whatsoever. They kept us there till about noon the next day, and at that stage of the game, the townspeople had divided us up into ones and twos, and each one of them had volunteered to take us into their homes to take care of us until such time as the Navy could come and get us. I was taken to a home of people who I'm ashamed to say I'm not sure of their name, but it seems to me their last name was Albert, spelled A-L-B-E-R-T. You might check this out and might find this to be true or not. I can't remember. In any event, I was put on a daybed, and someone sat up with me around the clock that night until the next day, till the Navy came to pick us up. We were then taken in small craft to the Naval Hospital at Argentia, Newfoundland. And in 3 or 4 days later, we thawed enough and were in a reasonable enough condition that we could hobble around under our own power. Cassie, I hope this is the information that you want. I'm sorry if it isn't, but it's the best I can do after 35 years. The pictures that I am sending you, you may keep. However, I would appreciate it if you would send back to me the clippings out of my scrapbook that I am sending you. I hope this information will be of some help to you in putting your book together. I would appreciate it when the book is published if you could let me know the title and when so that I might get a copy. I'm sure it will be interesting reading. I would also appreciate it if you could send me the names and addresses of any of the survivors that you find that are still alive. As I wrote you in the note that I sent the other day, the only one who I know about is Captain Bostic, who is retired and lives in Florida, and who I still keep in contact with. Again, I trust this will be of some luck to you.
Doctor.